According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, an American under 25 is killed by gunfire every 70 minutes in this country. But the tragedy doesn't end there. Tens of thousands of youth are injured by gun violence and survive. Our partner station, WLRN, in Miami, Florida, has a new 12-part series. It's called Young Survivors, The Unspoken Trauma of Gun Violence. And it tells the stories of young people who've lived through gun violence, their families, and the others around them. Reporter Nottage Green followed the story of 17-year-old shooting victim Andre Foster, who ran track and played football for his high school team. Then in September, he was one of six young people shot while attending a Sweet 16 party in southwest Miami-Dade in South Florida. Andre was shot in both legs, and he's still unable to talk about the incident. But his mother is Shantae Grant, and she describes the emotional toll that she and her family have gone through since that fall evening when she got the phone call that no parent wants to hear.
Andre called me about 10:33, and he said, "Mom, I've been shot." And I say, "Well, where are you? What do you mean you've been shot?" And he's like, "Yeah, I just got hit." I immediately grabbed my two kids and my husband, and we got in the car, and we were on our way to the home where he was actually shot. Andre called me back about maybe 3 minutes later, and he's like, "Mom, some friends put me in a car and we're on our way to the hospital." My husband says, "Ask him where he was shot at." And I asked him, I said, "Where were you shot?" He said, "Both of my legs." And immediately I just kind of like just had to saw a few, you know, times and pray. And then after that, we got to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, it was like a crime scene. The vehicle that they actually brought Andre to the hospital in was roped off. There was blood everywhere. Unfortunately, he was wearing white pants, so the white pants are, it was blood all over him. When I got into the hospital, Andre was in trauma in the back. About 2 a.m., they told me they were taking him into surgery to repair whatever damages had been done. 3 a.m. rolled past, 4, 5, 6, 6:20 came a.m., and the doctors came out. And they told me that if Andre had waited 5 more minutes, that he probably wouldn't have survived. He hasn't spoke about it. Eventually, I know he will have to. I plan to get him a therapist as well as my other younger children because they also experienced it as well. My 11-year-old looks up to Andre. So, of course, he wants to do everything that Andre does. And he was actually in the car with us on the way to the hospital. He was hysterical. He was crying. He begged to go in the back to see his brother once we got to the hospital, but of course we couldn't allow him to see Andre like that. Me living in this society with three boys, I do my best to try to make sure my children are safe, to make sure that they have everything that they need, to pretty much try to keep them secure to where they don't have to deal with things of this nature, such as gun violence. But, of course, this was a wake-up call because this can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter what we teach them on the inside. It doesn't matter how much we try to guide our children. It's like once they're out of our safety zone, I guess, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to them on the outside. The boys have not been able to go on the park to play. The boys have not been able to go outside and play on the porch. We're just not comfortable with sending our children nowhere but to school at this point. And it's probably going to be like that for a while, but blame me. And I tell Andre and the boys, blame me. It's not you guys. It's me. So definitely this incident has made me, I was already protective, be a little bit more protective in reference to my children.
You've just heard the story of 17-year-old Andre Foster shot in both legs at a party in South Florida. That story told through the eyes of his mother, Shantae Grant. There's very little research on why gun injuries are the second leading cause of death for ages 25 and under in this country. And even less is known about the physical and mental toll of gun injuries on young people who survive them. As part of their reporting on the impact of gun violence, the team at WLRN in Miami interviewed victims and parents, doctors, teachers, and they learned that the consequences like trauma, depression, PTSD, even suicide, can plague both the victims and their families long after those gunshot wounds have healed. Reporter Sammy Mack covers health policy for WLRN and is a contributor to that series. She says that what she and her colleagues found surprised them.
Here in Miami-Dade County, we have had a terrible burden of youth gun violence. And we were looking at what happens to these kids. And when we pulled some data from our big local trauma center, which for most of the past decade is the only place a kid with a gunshot wound would have gone, we were shocked to find that there were more than 850 kids who went to the ER with gunshot wounds. And that of those kids, if they made it to the ER, their odds of survival were close to 90%. So there are literally hundreds of kids in Miami who have come of age or are growing up carrying this trauma that we really don't know much about.
You mentioned 850 that you found. I mean, that's just kids who do go to the trauma center. I guess not all do if they're grazed. But across Florida and even nationally, do we know exactly how big this phenomenon is?
There is no registry of what happens to gunshot wound victims. There's nobody who is specifically tracking, particularly if you're looking at long-term effects, the numbers of survivors, the long-term outcomes for them. And so we don't really have a great sense of what this experience is like on a large scale, let alone on a small scale.
We've talked about and reported on this show about the limits of gun violence and gun injury research at a place like the CDC, the National Repository. Is that part of the problem, and is that sort of politicized lack of research into gun violence part of the issue here?
That certainly is what I was hearing from people who do work with kids who have been shot in Miami-Dade County. I spoke with a couple of different researchers and doctors who drew a direct line between the loss of funding 20 years ago into gun-related injury research and the very little that we know about the long-term impacts, particularly on the mental health of kids who do survive. It can take years and potentially millions of dollars to do a really substantive follow study where you're just looking at kids who have survived and what happens to their mental health. That's really complicated research. And so as a result, based on what I was hearing from the people who would like to know more about these kids, who do work with them as much as they can, they don't have a lot of really big studies to go on, and they would love more.
And so in the absence of good public health research and good mental health research, Sammy Mack, you have to turn to the families and to the victims themselves, which is what you've done. And you got a sense here of not only the physical injuries, but the mental and emotional aftermath. What did you find out from the people that you have been talking to about the emotional fallout of being a gunshot victim when you're a kid or a teenager?
There is a lot of indication that these are kids who are set up to struggle. And while they heal from their physical wounds, a lot of them are at higher risk of experiencing things like depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. I spoke to one psychologist who compared it to what soldiers come back with. You know, the 4th of July being her example, you hear fireworks, and instead of thinking about what an exciting thing that is to see, you're thinking about who just got shot. Like you heard from Shante Grant in that piece just now, there is a shared anxiety. And when a kid gets shot, it's not just the kid who takes the bullet. It's the family, it's the community, it's the schools, it's where this stuff plays out. There are ripples that go far out from the victim.
So once the wounds heal, at least the physical ones, Sammy Mack, there's the return to life. They go back to school. What happens then?
It sort of depends. It's very case by case with these kids. The school district down here does have a crisis team that will intervene and come in and do some counseling and talk to teachers and kids around the child as well. But that crisis team has to be called in. And we heard from some teachers and some administrators who said that, you know, this is something that we have to deal with so regularly that it doesn't even necessarily make sense to call the crisis team in. And then when you talk to the kids who have gone back, we talked to, you know, one young man who had been paralyzed after being shot. He got a ton of support from the schools, from his friends, from his principal. And even with all of that, he still, 4 years later, struggles with depression.
How does prevention fit into this picture?
Everyone that I spoke to wants to see kids helped survive by preventing the violence in the first place. In the meantime, though, there is this population of kids who are walking around carrying these scars that you can't necessarily see. And there is going to be a generation of these kids. And while we figure out what works in prevention, they need help.
I think, Sammy Mack, as we're talking about these kids, hundreds, if not thousands of them across the country who are victims of gunshots, it just pays to take a minute to realize that we're having this conversation. We talk about the mental health impact of it, the fallout, the public health implications. This conversation by itself has me a little bit rattled.
You know, we hear about kids who die and what the families and communities have to deal with afterwards. You know, homicide numbers don't tell you everything. And this is, I think, one of those stories about the even greater burden of this kind of violence when a child gets shot.
Sammy Mack, health reporter for WLRN in Miami. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.